Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's just a normal day for a student on a social network. Selfies sent, friends poked, statuses changed. But what if something else, something sinister is going on? What if things aren't normal at all? Well, there's a new horror movie made in Toronto called Antisocial, which says things online are not normal. It envisions a world where a mysterious virus is spreading like wildfire across the planet, turning everyone into robo-zombies. Antisocial follows a group of university students preparing for a New Year's bash right when the virus hits. Who will live, who will die, and can the virus be stopped? Antisocial is now playing in Toronto, and Cody Callahan, the director, is here to tell us more about it. Hi, Cody.
How you doing, Daniel?
So no spoilers, of course, but Antisocial refers to social networks like Facebook. Is Facebook evil?
That's a funny question. I get asked that a lot, obviously, making a movie like this. I don't think it's the site itself. I think the use of the site can be to a negative degree, and I think maybe some of the people using it, I mean, pushing more towards like bullying and stuff like that, but I don't think the site itself is evil. I think maybe what it does to people.
But is it turning us into robots or zombies? Or
I don't think I don't think you can deny that it's not. I mean, I wonder how many accidents happen on the road because people are checking their phones and their Facebook, and that sense where you see somebody check their Facebook and then 30 seconds pass and they go back on to see what's new, you know, rather than sitting and talking to the person in front of them.
The movie opens with the main character talking about something crucial in her life to her boyfriend, and he's busy consulting for messages on his phone.
Yeah, well, he's not only that, but he's on like a Skype. He's on Skype on his phone.
That's right.
So he's like sort of the extreme.
Three steps removed from reality.
Exactly.
So as you obviously know, because you made the movie, I think the first location of the movie was shot right there. Like 20 meters away from here, is that right?
It was the exterior of the Hard House, yes.
So how come you chose to set the movie at a university? Why universities?
I think as technology changes, you know, in the world and stuff, I saw this image the other day that was like, I'm going to get the time wrong, but it's like 1995 versus 2013, and it's everybody in a classroom looking at the teacher.
Right.
And then 2013 is everybody in the classroom looking at their laptops, and it's all Mac laptops.
Right, right.
So I think university would be where you'd see the biggest change.
Okay.
And the age, obviously.
Right, so, right. Yeah. There's lots of stuff in the news right now about NSA or CSEC in Canada using social networks to spy on us. Mm-hmm. Is this part of your inspiration for the movie, or did that happen after
you? That did happen after, but before that, the co-writer, Chad Archibald, his fiance is paranoid about the cameras on laptops, and I always thought that was funny, but now I cover mine.
Oh, because you find out it's true.
Well, no, I just don't know if it isn't, but now seeing all this stuff, it's like, oh, okay, so now I have like a piece of black tape over the camera on my computer.
So I'd like to talk about your influences. I mean, sure. With the obvious one I saw is Exploding Head. Obviously, it's Cronenberg standard. Yep. I caught a hint of 28 Days Later, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that that's probably the freshest take on the zombie genre since, you know, Giorgio Romero's, so...
So tell me some more films that influence you.
It's weird because, like, I love like Evil Dead, and when I was growing up, it was all about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and all of those. But I think lately I've been sort of a movie that I saw while I was just before I started writing this. The influence isn't really in there, but I saw Antichrist by Lars von Trier, and I'm sort of I know that's a big one, but I think I like the psychological horror starting to more than the full out slasher. Now don't get me wrong, a good full out slasher is good, but
so would you call who played Charlotte Gainsbourg's role in this movie?
Oh,
if you're going to assign it to someone,
I don't think it's
more
yeah.
just the mood, more just the feeling of the
yeah.
Okay. There's a brilliant scene where one of the characters gets tied down with Christmas lights and the virus activates the bulbs. They start flashing. So when you made the movie, did you plan for it to be a Christmas New Year's release?
we didn't.
Perfect, right?
Yeah, yeah. We were trying to decide when to, because you have to like obviously pick a setting for it, and I think it was either between New Year's, because it's sort of, there's a, you know, a general consensus that New Year's could have at one point been the end of the world, so that was kind of funny, or doing it at Halloween, so we could have these user zombie type people in costumes, which would just be bizarre to see. So, and we went with New Year's, and it was just Christmas lights was just one of the list of cool deaths that we could come up
with. That was one of the best, I thought. Where there's a low budget movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
With mainly unknown actors. So how do you put it together?
The casting or the whole movie itself?
The casting and the movie itself. What did you do to cut corners? How do you pull off making a low budget movie?
I still haven't figured that out. It's kind of one of those things where you, when it works, and you're like, you know, you learn what not to do. But I think every time we make a movie, we learn, okay, we can do that better. We can do that better. So I think with every movie, we get better at saving money. Cast wise, I mean, that was, we casted for about 8 days. I want to say we saw about 60 actors in total, and all of the main five people were, as soon as they walked in, it was like, okay,
they're the ones.
Yeah.
Did you know what they looked like before you hired them? Or?
Yeah, we did everything off of headshots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So classic American slasher movies, they punish the characters who sin. So people have sex, people take drugs. But in your movie, and in most Canadian movies, you don't have that sin-based morality. So would you say there's a identifiably Canadian aspect of horror movies? Like I'm thinking Ginger Snaps, your movie.
Yeah, there's something. I don't know if this is true for every Canadian film, and I don't know where it gets vague with American movies, but I think there's something happening in Canada where I just don't think we have access to as much money. But I think with smaller budgets, there's less people saying what we can and can't do. So I think we're seeing a lot of the actual writer-directors rather than studios and stuff. Sort of being like, well, here's, you know, 10 million, but you're going to make the movie this way. So I think what's happening in Canada with Canadian horror film directors is I think you're seeing a lot of their voice. So I think there is no rules anymore.
So it's the studio producers aren't telling you what to do. You're making the movie how you want to make it.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And I think when it comes to, you know, the smaller the budget, I think the more control sort of the creative has. And I think studios will take bigger risks. And it can go either way, obviously. But I think, I think that there's definitely more risk being taken on both sides of the fence.
And did you run into any roadblocks or problems while you're making this movie?
Oh, my God. I mean, we got a house in Toronto at Yonge and Eglinton. And because we had to change the way it looked and paint walls and stuff, we needed to get a house that was about to be torn down. And we ran a little bit short on shooting, and it was like, I think we were like 2 days over, so I needed two more days, and it was like tomorrow they were going to tear the place down.
Literally tear down your
location.
Literally,
like it was gone. And I was like, in my head, I was like, can we do this all with like drywall and tight shot? Like, can I get away with it? And we couldn't get away with it. But luckily the owner of the building gave us leeway of like another week.
Do you ever think of using the collapsing building in the movie?
We actually went to go film it, but then it was like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And we're like, we're just going to... So I think it's actually... Yeah, I think it's actually on the DVD.
Oh, you included that?
I think there's like a couple shots.
It's an extra.
I think so. Yeah. I believe so.
Do you see this movie becoming a series?
Like a TV series? Or like
a series of movies. A sequel.
We're going to camera. We're going to camera in February on the sequel.
Oh, you're shooting already. What's it called?
We don't have a name for it yet. An Antisocial 2.0. I don't know. We've been throwing around ideas, but yes, we're going to camera very soon.
And can you tell us anything else about this movie?
I can't. My lips are sealed.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Cody.
No problem.
I've been speaking with Cody Callahan, whose film Antisocial is now playing in Toronto. This is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.